Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. Again, you can find me at ConnieWillis.com. Go investigate and have interactive conversation, investigation, all that good stuff with me and my Blue Rockers, a community, a membership. It's not 101. It ain't no podcast. Come join me if you have always wanted to investigate Bigfoot, Dogman, strange lights, hauntings. We'll do that live virtually. You'll be safe at home. I'll be the one going, ah, what's behind me? Anyway, it's a lot of fun. We have a great time. We really, really do. And I hope that you'll join. And by the way, I have great, I know it's hard. So veterans, seniors, first responders, self-employed, single parents, I've got you like over 70% off. And if you're a Coast to Coast fan, you got 50% off to my show, Blue Rock Talk. So you can be a part of Bigfoot Friday, Far Out Thursday, and also my project, Creepy Hotspots. It's a blast. It's fun. And yeah, it's my show. There you go. So go to ConnieWillis.com and you'll find those specials right there. Big as daylight. So I hope that you'll join ConnieWillis.com. Hey, one of our Blue Rockers is actually here tonight, and that is Lynn Buchanan. We're talking to him. I am an actual advanced certified controlled remote viewer under Lynn. And Lynn, also, of course, when I started taking classes with you and you were teaching controlled remote viewing to me and all the different classes that you have, I went with you to get intermediate, advanced, P6 tools, med apps, all these different classes you had and courses after the beginning and intermediate and advanced. But the beginning class was actually with Lori Williams. Tell us about Lori and your relationship with her.
Lori is one of the people who took the Angus Wan training. She took it from me, and she really got into it and has delved into it and has become an excellent viewer and also an excellent teacher. She's taken the CRV training course, and she is an excellent teacher. She lives about 60 miles north of me here, and she's like I am, just way out in the desert, you know.
And, just way out?
Way out, yeah.
And, I'm with you.
You know, she does really good work. She does a lot of free work. She does a lot of free work over the internet. And she's just, man, I wish I had one-tenth of her energy. She's just constantly going and doing and bubbly and you know, I sit around here sometimes being my age and
you know it's funny though. I mean, because I was going to take your course, and it's like, okay, the first course you take with Lori, and it was beginning, and I went there to her home. You guys, now it's on the internet. It's a whole lot easier. We had to not only get into the class, make it that weekend, but you got to fly in, and then you get a hotel, and you get your transportation, and you have your food that you have to get, and it's crazy at that point. But it was me and another person being taught by Lori, and he was this intelligent, incredibly intelligent surgeon that was like an amazing guy. So it was me and him. And, you know, that course, when you take the beginning course of controlled remote viewing, whether it's Paul Smith or whoever teaches it, you know, you or Lori or any of the other ones, and there's that time where you get it, you know, when you first get it, you first do it and you go, oh my gosh, I did it. I viewed it. I saw it. I actually saw it. I smelt it. I felt it. And she, you know, she works you to, you know, come on a little more, a little more. And you almost find out where you, I like to say this, where you splat at the target. You know, when you go to a picnic and there's butter out and it's a hot day and there's little bitty gnats in the butter and they like splatted in the butter in the melting butter and their little body parts are all over and their little wings. That's what I would do on the target. I would splat into it and then I'm just trying to get myself up. I'm this little bitty itty bitty thing. And at one point she was like, oh, move up and back. Now tell me what you see, after like hours, it seemed like. And when I did it, I just started, you know, drawing it up and, you know, just I saw the target. I saw it. I felt it. I knew the temperature. And, you know, that's one of the things she gets to see by doing the beginning that she even said she really loved, is to see people when they very first get that they get it, that they can do it. And it's just mind-boggling.
I love that moment when all of a sudden they realize that the universe just opened up to them. You know, it's an amazing thing to see. I love that moment. And, and here's another thing about the controlled remote viewing that Ingo created. He created a methodology and a terminology, and so you go to any psychic for training, they're going to teach you their terms, their beliefs, their whole cosmology and everything else. And you go to one qualified CRV trainer and take one course. You go to another one to take the next course. It's going to pick up with the same terminology, same structure, everything as the other teacher, where the other teacher left off, and so it's a method that is basically kind of standardized. You know, it's still growing, of course, but you're not limited to one teacher and one teacher's cosmology and one teacher's belief system and all that. You know, you can have any belief system you want. And the structure of the Inga Swan method will help you control that ability. This is why it's called controlled remote viewing. We say we're a controlled remote viewer, but we're not. The thing is, we're a viewer who is in control of their viewing. And the thing is, you know, there's a growing body of people who are all using the same method, the same reporting method, and it's a reporting method that works for police departments, for research scientists, for the three-letter organizations in the government, for businesses, corporations, and all that. They love it. It's a professional method that is standardized that everybody gets. Yeah.
Well, now you and Lori as well, and you all even work together all the time, but you've got these courses now online. It's so much simpler than back in the day with me, because we had to get out there, right? It was tough,
yeah.
But it was fun. Yeah. Like, we got to hang out in your house.
Not only the cost and the trouble for getting here, most people paid more for the travel and the lodging than they paid for the course.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, we only had 3 days. And the courses I have, like the basic course, has over 160 different video lessons.
I know. I can't believe it.
Yeah. And you know, there is
wow.
No way I could have packed that into 3 days' time. Just couldn't be done. And so now then, I'm actually, you know, having people go through the course. I have a webinar with them on the weekends, and I get the time with the students. They have more information and more study than they ever could when they were just coming here to the house. And I wish I'd done this online for years. But
I don't think you were able to, though, at that point. I don't know that the technology, it would have been tough.
It would have been tough, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that may not have stopped you. But you know, it was great being able to go to your house. You have an incredible home. You know, like Linda would hide out somewhere. We rarely saw her or your mom. Always loved your kitchen because it's got this huge griddle, you know, this restaurant kitchen that you have. And you had your pool back there, and you had the dogs, and it was fun. It was very homey and just a very nice place and atmosphere.
Yeah, I've always said my house is, you know, the coffee's hot, the welcome mat's right side up. So, you know.
It was fun, and I get to say that where a lot of people, you know, don't get to say that. So that's cool. I really like that. But your courses, you know, I've got them. And what was always good is if you took your course, then you get to audit it for the rest of your life with you. You always allowed that. So now your courses are, you got the basic control remote viewing, that and you're now like halfway through building your immediate course, so it's not up yet.
Oh,
Is that right?
it's up already, yeah. But
Oh, it is.
I'm not allowing people into it who are not CRV trained to the basic level.
Okay. So I want to get that from you. I want to watch it. Okay. Then we've got the associate remote viewing, which tell people what that is. That's fun. I think that's fun.
You can't tell people what it is without explaining it. So let me sort of explain it. It's called associative remote viewing. There are some things that are just really hard to remote view. I mean, some almost impossible to remote view, such as numbers on lottery balls and things like that, you know. And so we will have a monitor write down a list. Zero is associated with vanilla. One is associated with chocolate. Two is associated with salt. Three is associated with vinegar, all the way up through zero, you know, all the way through nine and zero. And then we say, okay, after tonight's lottery, I'm going to give you something to taste. View what it is to taste. View what it is you're going to taste. Now, taste and smells and things like that, they're really easy to view. And so the viewer sits down and they say, I taste chocolate. Well, I know what number's going to be on the first ball. It's going to be a two. And so by associating things that are easy to view with things that are hard to view, and then having a viewer view the easy thing, by association, you have the answer to the hard question.
Now you know that I've been asking you about, you know, what, okay, so a long time ago in one of your classes, I mean, in every one of your classes, everybody wants to try to do win the lotto every
Oh, yeah.
time you had class, right? And Laura the same way. So when one of the times that I was there, you had taught, I remember this one. I'm not good at this one. I just could not taste it. I couldn't taste it. I couldn't get this one. So I know you're saying that this is the other one that you thought was easier. You taught the other one with the pendulum, and that's what I put a book, wrote a little book about. And it was Lynn, you know, it was all inspired by Lynn. And this is Lynn taught me this. Here it is. You had said, take it, Connie, do what you want with it. And I
Well,
did.
that's
And
the thing. You know, I when you're in the class, I'm not taking data and writing it down, but I'm paying attention. And like I use taste for that, right? What if I watch you view and I realize that you really suck at taste?
Dude, I'm a CIA graduate. I've got a trained palate, and I can't do the taste with remote viewing.
And but in watching you view, I know that you're good at sounds. So I won't say one is associated with vanilla, two, I'll say one is associated with a bell, two is associated with a buzzer, 3 is associated with the sound of a Coke bottle opening up. I don't tell you any of these.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Okay. Tonight after the lottery, tell me what you hear. So by the database, you know, after you've gotten well into this, the database tells me what you're good at. And that way I know what to cue you with for the associated remote viewing.
That IQ of yours, you got me. You're right.
I've had ARV classes, ARV associated remote viewing. And at the end of them, we go up to the Indian casino up there in Ruidoso. And, I mean, everybody knows you go to an Indian casino, you're just giving money to the Indians. You're just giving money to the Reds. That's all you're doing because, you know, you're going to have a really hard time winning. You don't win at those casinos. And so far, we've only had one person who didn't win, and they broke even. So,
yeah. Huh? Who's the other guy that does that? Marty.
Marty does the ARV. Yeah, he does that exclusively. Marty Rosenblatt.
Mm-hmm.
His website is PIA.org or .com or something like that. It's PIA. I don't remember what it stands for, but he does associative remote viewing only.
Yeah, I did that with him in Vegas, and we went and did the casino thing, and we won. I think we each won $60, or we all, you know, split it. I can't remember now, but yeah, we did that with him, and went right to the casino. And when, of course, any of us were with you, we would just go right into the lotto and do that. Now, I always enjoyed being able to go to your class. I guess I was at your intermediate class, and then I went to your advanced like the next week or something.
Yeah.
And you normally don't allow that, but you did because it's like, look, I'm flying in. This is all I got. I can stick around. I can't fly back and forth. But in between, what was great is you'd go, okay, in between, San Luis Valley's over here. Where's the place with the underground base? Dulce is over here. And it was great because that's what we would do in between the classes. You know, not only would we have these great, incredible classes with you, and Lori as well, but then in between we'd go to Dulce, you know, and be outside and get creeped out with what, you know, we experienced. It was really incredible.
They don't call New Mexico the land of enchantment for nothing. Yeah.
Oh, that is the craziest state. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. White Sands, all of that. When I saw White Sands, I thought, no, there's something behind this. We're not getting the full story here. I would go sliding down in my shoes, and it tore up my shoes. I know that too, but I enjoyed it very, very much. That was in Alamogordo. So those of you that are listening, it's Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis, and we are talking with Lynn Buchanan in the next hour. Of course, later, it's going to be open lines. We're going to have him stick around for a little bit so you can ask him some questions too. Anything you want, it's open lines, right? Thanks for staying here with us for the evening. More to come, of course. Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. And you are listening to Coast AM. Hey there, I'm Connie Willis, talking with Lynn Buchanan, one of the old psychic spies. And when I say old, I mean O-L-E, right? But I do know you are retired, which, okay, I understand you're retired from some things. To me, it doesn't really seem like you're retired because you're still working with your online courses and you know, doing that and even speaking and doing Beyond Belief with us and things like that. But I guess you would call yourself retired, right? And what does one do when they're retired from all the adventurous stuff that you have done, Lynn?
Listen, I get up in the morning and I go to work, and usually around 6 or 7, start working. And if I can finish by 1 in the evening, you know, what, by 1 the next morning, I'm doing good.
The next morning. Okay.
Wow. I just spend all my time working. you know, my wife died recently, and I have seen too many times when a wife will die and the husband just sits around and mopes, and within 6 months he dies too, and that's just not going to happen. So I've got too much to do, and my students help me stay busy all the time because they still have all these questions and everything. So you know, it works. It works out.
Well, you know, speaking of that, and Linda was a great lady. She was so intelligent. I was like, wow, she's more intelligent than Lynn. How is that? She had a great sense. What?
The friend of mine, one of my best friends, was the retired commander of the USS Enterprise, the ship, not the spaceship. But he was over here, and I just happened to mention, we were talking about the Navy vertical takeoff and landing planes. And I said, you know who did the programming for the maintenance on all of those programs and all of the Navy airplanes? It was Linda.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's amazing. She was amazing. Very nice, too, and loved you and took care of you.
Oh, yeah.
Just super. Now, and speaking of that, you did a lot of targets on afterlife. Did that help you with her passing to have knowledge of where she would have went, or what did you learn from that? What can you talk to about that?
Well, of course, it didn't help me with the loss, but
of course
know,
not.
But yeah, the sessions when they were training me, they found out that I just would avoid even looking at death or anything, you know, related with death. And so one of the other viewers started giving me targets of people, and, you know, you never know what the target is. It's always sealed in an envelope or something like that. And they would give me people targets and then move me forward in time. And it was always, they would give me a target time of like 1 minute before their death and then move me forward into their death and afterwards and have me view them. And in all of those that I did, I never found a ghost. However, I was raised Baptist. You know, you either go to heaven or hell. That's your two choices, and, you know, you just pick your choice. And what I found out was that some of those people went to what I would call heaven, not the heaven I learned in Sunday school, but, you know, what I would call heaven. Some of them went to what I'd absolutely, definitely call hell. And some of them would reincarnate. And some of them would just quit existing altogether. And,
wow.
So, you know, what I learned from that was that the different belief systems, you know, the atheist, you die, you die. And that's the only way. And the people who believe heaven or hell, that's the only way. And the people who believe in reincarnation, that's the only way. Where they're wrong is that they believe it's the only way.
Right.
And it's just not the only way.
You know, one of the things I remember you talking about that was you had said that they had, I guess, you had viewed somebody a minute after they passed, and then they would move you to 2 minutes, 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever. Sometimes you saw nothing until about 13, 12 or 13. Do you remember that?
Those who reincarnated, those always seem to reincarnate into a 12 or 13-year-old kid. Not into a the ones that were given to me. They, none of those reincarnated into a baby. And I just always wondered if that's where the all of the different cultures have realized that, you know, the coming of age ceremony and all that. I've just always wondered if there was a whole lot more to that than just meets the eye, you know, if maybe they, in ancient cultures, they knew that at that age, for some kids, all of a sudden the spirit just reincarnates into them.
That's interesting. I think you're right. There always seems to be something, some sort of truth to the things along the way in life. And I guess along the way, we've forgotten what the roots are. So describe what you felt was heaven.
It was just amazing. I would, you know, get to that person at that point, and it was just indescribably beautiful and wonderful. And I know for a lot of those targets, I would just feel, I would feel wonderful for a week after the session. For the ones that went to what I would call hell, usually they would give me, you know, the move forward into time, and within like a tenth of a second, I would just be kicked out of the session completely, and just have, on some of them, I'd have nightmares for a week afterwards. I mean, really, really horrible. And
so what did you see? What did you see?
Mainly a blackness, but it was a blackness that was so absolutely scary and just after you've experienced this, it's hard to describe. You know, it told me one thing. I don't want to go that way when I die.
Right. So can you try to put into words the heaven? I'm going to try to dig in deep there. I just want to get that visual, if I can, from you.
Oh, yeah, it was light. It was wonderful. There were people there who were happy and friendly, and you know, I would be describing this and writing it down on paper the whole time. So this is not one of those where I bilocated or had the perfect sight integration. But
you might not have come back if you did that.
I don't think I would have wanted to, no.
Yeah. Well, I know those feelings that you can get when you're doing those targets, and you would, you know, bilocate and do some neat things. You told a story one time that I thought was amazing. So it was probably the first time that I was around you. You would just blow us away with stories. And I don't know what you remember of me in class, but I would just look at you and I'd have another question and another question and another question. I just had to know more. But you had mentioned at one point where I don't know who it was or anything, but I remember you guys had realized at one point, I guess as maybe Ingo as well, but you had realized that you could go in and view something for the military and you could be in that situation trying to get information. And then you started noticing that the people that were there in that situation, usually they couldn't see you, but at one point you saw that some people could see you. What was that about?
Okay. One of the reasons that the controlled remote viewing is what was so favored was the fact that you can't get caught. And so you can't get noticed if you're doing it correctly. And so, you know, let's say you're spying on some classified facility over in another country, and they have guards walking around the perimeter with guard dogs and all that, and all of a sudden the guard dog alerts. Well, other countries take this very seriously, and they're going to report that. And then the next day it gets reported, and people get together who are leading some secret project, and they say, oops, maybe we'd better go to plan B. But with CRV, you can't get caught. The dog won't alert. And so the information you get on plan A, they stick with plan A because they don't know they've been spied on. And so the information remains good. And so one of the big features about CRV is you don't get caught. Well, there are ET bases on the Earth, and we were never officially, let me underscore the word officially, we were never officially tasked to view them. However, we did, and you know, counted them as practice sessions and all that. And so one of the ET bases especially, Pat Price, one of the early people, had viewed this and had been caught by the aliens there. It scared him. He never viewed it again. He refused to view it again. And it was given to me. I didn't know, you know, it just, there was another targeting in an envelope. And I got to that ET base, and the ETs there just basically came up. They said, look, we know you're here, and it's okay. Look around. See what you want. We're not hiding anything. And so I did. And come to find out, we kind of got feedback, and, you know, it was accurate. Yeah.
So, okay. Did you bilocate on that one?
Yeah, I did. That was one of those where I had perfect site integration, and, mentally, okay, stress that mentally. Yeah, I was standing there. It was the one around at the, mountains down in Northern Australia, and I was standing there and watching these ships come in and passengers unloading and loading and all that. The ET base in Australia seems to be the one that is the sort of port of entry for friendly ETs, and they come in and they land there first and then go out around the world. There's another base like that, I think, on the moon. But I know this, for a lot of people, this sounded crazy.
No, we're with you.
But, yeah, the...
Were they the friendly ones? You said they were friendly, but were they were psychic ones?
They were friendly ones, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
They the friendly and, psychic or friendly non-psychic?
Oh, well, obviously the psychic ones, yeah, because they picked up on me that I was there, you know.
Okay.
And, yeah, and they let me know, yeah, it's okay, you're here, so what? Yeah.
What are, were they the grays, tall grays? What did they look like?
These weren't. They were different. They were more humanoid. Yeah.
are you just blowing this off because you can't say? Or are you going to tell me? You got to give me a description, or can you not?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You told too much, or?
Well, yes, told too much. But at the base, there are also humans working there. So, you know.
And were they actual humans, or were they more like,
did they ever live
like an Earthling?
Yeah, there were actual humans working there, but there are also many different species were coming in and leaving. Yeah.
So that was like maybe someone that was born in Chicago and now they're working on the base with the aliens.
Well,
that kind of thing.
This goes into a long thing. I don't know if we've got time for this, but
yeah.
When the what's being called the Anunnaki left, you know, after being here and mining gold, and they left, they took humans with them. And those humans have been on other planets working there, and many as, you know, just service people. And now there are those who are escaping and coming back, you know, and trying to blend in with the human population. Not as spies for them, but simply because they want their freedom. They don't want to come in, and they don't want to have any political power. They don't want to have anything else. They just want the little white cottage with a picket fence around it and, you know, four kids and a dog, and to live out their life here just happy as they can be, and that's all they want.
They want to come back home.
No, they don't want to go back home. They want to stay here.
No, they want to come back home as Earthlings, right?
They want to come back home, yeah.
Yeah.
And for one thing, they're very concerned about that, you know, the DNA test, the 1, 2, 3, whatever, those DNA tests that have become a fad. They're very concerned about who's paying attention to this little wedge on that thing that says other, because in the centuries there has been some different evolution going on because they've lived in a different planet, you know.
Lynn Buchanan, that's who we're talking to here. You are listening to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis, and coming up here shortly, it's Open Lines. Lynn's going to stick around with us, so you can ask him some questions, too, anything you want. It's Open Lines, right? Myself and Lynn get to do this together. So stay with us. Thank you for being here. Connie Willis on Coast AM.